don't want to see you coming back in here with fucking junkies. I want to see you coming back in here with bloodstained junkies.
Look at anybody going sitting up a pint with those boys after that.
And the referee is looking around and acting as Mickey.
Tell the children to play tennis or something.
If they want to play tennis, go and play tennis.
So, in a week where the Pope said that hell does not exist, still Cavan could not beat Roscommon. Welcome to the so-called Weaker Podcast. Gavin Cooney sitting in here in the hot seat this week for Mick McCarthy, who has used this break in Division 2B hurling to go and get married. Mark Farley's here as always. Mark, how are things?
How's it going? Sure, look, not great, but we're in Division 1. It's the last time we
were... Enough moaning, thank you very much. And Morris Brosnan is here as well. Morris, welcome to the show.
How's the form, lads?
Now that the football leagues are entirely over, we're going to pick a team from the so-called weaker counties for which we've relied upon your help. Thanks to everyone who got involved with our pleas over social media yesterday. And Mark and Morris will be bringing us the team in just a few minutes. Before we do that, and before we look back on finals weekend, this is a timely reminder / desperate plea to please subscribe to this podcast and rate it and leave a comment on iTunes and tell your friends about it. Just because the league is over does not mean that we're finished up. We're looking forward to doing a few different things over the coming weeks, so stay tuned for all of that. But we're going to start by looking back over finals weekend in Croke Park. Mark, you've 30 seconds to moan about Cavan losing to Roscommon, and
all,
I'm timing you. Go.
First of all, I want to mention how it's funny the way that Morris will be allowed to talk about his beloved Galway next year on the so-called Weaker Podcast because they're still in Division 1B of the hurling.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't be allowed to talk about Cavan, but yeah, Croke Park was very cold. The queue for Fagans for the Carvery was unbelievable. We arrived up at about 10 past 12 and I think we got the dinner at about 10 past 1. It was three counties, Roscommon, Cavan and Galway, all ate their dinner in the middle of the day and that proved with the fact that the queue was the whole way back to the M50 in Fagans.
What counties don't eat their dinner in the middle of the day?
Yeah,
the Dubs maybe.
The Dubs. I had an awful lot. Like the Dubs. And I suppose it is actually mostly the Dubs, really. But the Dubs and people from towns in most other counties.
Really? Do you,
Morris,
stand
where
over
would you? When would you eat your dinner?
Firstly, I want to just clarify that I'm not of beloved Galway. Can I clarify that? I'm a citizen of the world. Like Bono.
I was going to say, Jesus, this man be working with us for a day. But it goes to be a year now and I've been from the wrong county.
That kind of impartiality won't go very far on this podcast. It was generally...
Wait, the dinner, though?
It's a good point. But the only place that doesn't is Dublin.
Yeah, I suppose. When you went to college, everybody kind of ate their dinner in the evening.
Yeah.
There's people I'd say will change their habits, but they won't. Like people, like true coaches would be like, no, I'm eating dinner in the middle of the day, and that's that. It's not like, you know, when you go to college and when you're in work now, we go home and we make dinner in the evening because it makes more sense.
Again, this is tangential and we will move on to the football in a minute. But it's a very good tweet from Neil Tracy, I remember seeing a couple of weeks ago, of a rival sports audio programme that will not be mentioned here. But anyway, he said that the thing he's noticed about cold cheese in Dublin is that anytime they make pasta, they have about a half a block of grated cheddar cheese on it.
Yeah,
it's absolutely right, actually.
I haven't even really adapted to pasta yet. I'm still like, I had spaghetti bolognese there for lunch, which is actually a dinner because I make double a dinner in at night. So the way I adapted to the whole thing was that I eat now dinner at lunchtime and a dinner at dinner time. Mm. But yeah, I had spaghetti bolognese, put out the spaghetti and had spuds instead.
Spuds bolognese.
Potato bolognese. But anyway, Croke Park.
Yeah, let's talk about
it
football.
It was very, very cold. The game was insane. Despite the fact, like, I think Cavan just teasing us at this stage. We went 2 goals and a point up to a point after 10 minutes or something. And every chance we had was a goal chance. And still, we're going to beat Roscommon. This is all I did now.
Yeah,
no,
I liked your tweet that Cavan's brand of football is take your goals and the points will come.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was because, again, I dare I mention, and you warned me not to mention him this week, but I'm still going to bring up Joe Rowley. And like the fact this wasn't some sort of back hit, you know, a heart back to the 90s where it was man on man and all this. Both teams were trying to defend, but the problem is they both have the exact same strategy. It's get men behind the ball and then transition speed, that word that Brodie loves, up the field as quickly as you possibly can. And when both teams are doing that, what happens is they get caught out because Roscommon bomb forward, they lose the ball, and then Cavan bomb forward. So everything they actually got forward, they had a goal chance before Roscommon got the players back. And when Roscommon got the players back, they're playing against the wind, so then they couldn't fashion a chance at all. Hence, we were scoring goals every time we went forward.
Yeah.
And if we got stopped at all, we couldn't even score a point.
Was it not terrible defending by Roscommon? I will hold my hand up and say I didn't see this game live. Now they've played, the last two games in Croke Park was the Mayo replay in the quarter final and this game in, against Cavan. And as far as I can see, every time that that defence is ran at, they concede a goal.
Yeah, but again, and it was the same at Mayo, and Mayo were pretty similar enough style, is when they're run at, when they run at, when they don't have time to get back. When they get back, they're, yeah, you know, they've got the blanket and they're, they'll tackle intensity and it's very hard to break them down. But it's because they attack with numbers and then they try and flood back with numbers. Like if you, a lot of the time, Cavan get joy with this against a lot of teams who aren't quick enough to get forward. So like Meath, especially there in the group stage of the league. I mean, Meath hand passed the ball over and back and round the place. And you'd all day to get back into position, defend, then you win the ball back and attack at speed. Roscommon do the exact same thing, but when you've got two teams doing the same to each other,
yeah,
it's just mayhem. You saw it live.
Yeah, and kind of not to dwell on that point about the outspoken opponents, but like the idea that Cavan lost 10 players last year because of playing defensive football, like the least they scored in national championship was 15 points, which is the game they lost against Tipperary. Yeah. But before that, against Monaghan, they also scored 15 points, scored 117 against Offaly. In the league, I think the least they scored was against Tyrone, which was 1-9 or 1-10. So I don't think that's... that's fair.
And they were the highest scoring team in Division 2 the year before. And there's also the thing that we're saying, oh, Barry's saying, oh, they fell back in old habits before half time, the forward line, you know, they played with four forwards, but then they're trying to get used to not playing a different system, so they all fell back. Four of the six starting forwards had never played a league game for Cavan before this year.
Really, yeah.
Only player who had, of four of them, Queevan Riley came on against Tipperary last year in the Championship. And the, apart from that, then you've got Adrian Cole, Conor Bradley, and who are the other ones? Brian McGee had never played a game for Cavan seniors before, and Queevan's amounted to just that Tipperary game. So I don't know how they have them old habits to fall back on.
Yeah, mighty Roscommon, mighty again. Like that forward line is legitimately among the top five in the country,
it's
isn't
incredible,
it?
Yeah, absolutely incredible.
That was the difference, really, in the end, was that they could score points from literally anywhere. Like,
yeah.
They had so every player in that forward line could turn around and kick a point from 40, 50 yards.
And even like Murray from cornerback scoring goals.
It was a real... There was a difficult wind into that hill, so it was tough for both sides to score that end. But when Cavan then went to the second half and there were a bit more free scored, it was still really McVitie and Johnston and Mackie, and even Mackie had a few drops short in the keeper's hands. That, like, whereas Roscommon had every player, it was like, you know, if they get a chance at all, they're turning around and
I think that's the biggest thing for Roscommon is like the variance of scores. Like, if you look, same thing happened to Cavan in the Fermanagh and Armagh game, you know, if you're looking to a score, you're looking to Quigley or Mernon. Roscommon have scoring forwards everywhere. If it's not like if Smith gets on the ball and doesn't score, he gives it to Donny Shine or he gives it to one of the Mertas and it's going over the bar. I think that's massive. You know, you've got that kind of variance in your forward line.
Mm. Yeah, even when we're talking about the, trying to make this so-called team of the week or so-called team of the so-called weaker podcast, it was impossible just to separate the Roscommon forwards. Like, which one do you go for? The Mertas? Do you go for Lennon? Like, even Craig, who only came off the bench for most of the games after coming back.
Yeah.
Like, his good
two goals.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
This year's Connacht Championship is going to be blockbuster stuff. Division 3 final. Morris, you paid particularly close attention to this. Fermanagh and Armagh. I mean, Kieran Whelan was on League Sunday the week before warning that this would not be particularly worth watching, was it?
No, it was definitely worth watching. All four finals were brilliant. The three that we'll focus on.
All three finals, sorry. Yeah. Wasn't the fourth?
On the Fermanagh Armagh game, like, there's a lot of, I think both managers afterwards referenced the fact that there wasn't a lot of space, although there's a lot more space than there will be in Brewster Park, because obviously this is going to form a trilogy with the league and the same. I thought it was brilliant. Something kind of weird, it's one of those things you notice and you're half watching the game and then you go back and watch it. Ryan McMinniman spent an unordered amount of time on the pitch.
Yeah.
Like he's kind of constantly over and back. It's like each, and these are only the ones that are in shot, so you don't really know what happened outside that. But he's just, you know, if you look at Fermanagh's backroom team, they've got Gallagher's brother as well, Ron. He's been their goalkeeper coach. He was behind the goals, feeding the keeper balls constantly because a lot of time he wasn't using a tee because it's trying to, this idea of, you know, really quick ball. That's their game. It's like they're trying to get the ball effectively to Quigley as quickly as possible. So it's, you know, you're flooding men back. And yet still you see with a team like Armagh, like the joys of, you know, this kind of idea. Like this, it's such a nice novelty to have, you know, a target man in sight and then you think he's going to get crowded out by a sweeper. And yet Mernon was so effective. Yeah. And it's worked for Armagh. Like they have Roy Grugan inside there as well, Raffertree in the other corner. Like they've got a huge amount. I'm really kind of excited about that Armagh team. Kind of
they play a much better style of football, is it fair to say, than one might assume?
Yeah, I mean, yes, like they, kind of what you were talking about there, Mark, it's about flooding players back when you don't have the ball. Like Roy Grugan, who famously broke your heart in that last minute point against Longford.
Yeah, well, referees more than anything. But, you know, let's park our bitterness
came,
and bias.
Came out. He's been playing inside with Andrew Mernon, and he came out and he's playing, like, he effectively played as in midfield. They played Raftery inside, and it was kind of, you know, like when you're watching Mernon, the best point he scored, you didn't actually see it in the highlights afterwards. It was the first one. He kind of caught the ball and did like a 360 pirouette before putting the ball over the bar. And but I kind of like the idea that, you know, they've got three huge, like massive forwards inside that they're going to be able to hit the ball with. And then even against a team as defensive as Fermanagh, which they are, it still kind of is successful. And then you look at the other side and like, I like, you know, Armagh, it's effective. You kind of wonder about the idea of like they're shoehorning in the two Quigleys. Obviously, Sean got a black card early, but like how you can't get Tomás Corrigan into that team doesn't really make sense to me. I know it's about a style thing, and maybe it's you know, about making a sacrifice for a player that isn't going to, that will track back and stuff. But I think like you have to make some sort of allowance, or you have to be adaptable with those kind of systems. And if you've got a player like Tomás Corrigan who comes off the bench straight away, kicks a point and sets up another, it's kind of a shame to think you can't get him to start as well. Because he hasn't been starting through the league. This wasn't just the final.
Yeah. Well, just come back in Armagh as well. I talked about it a few weeks on the podcast. This is one of the Mad Hat theories that I had for years now, where I wanted to see the triple towers. Because we've talked about the Twin Towers only lasted for about a year or two in Kerry with Donaghy and Walsh. And you see the mayhem that Donaghy causes in there on his own. Look what he did to Galway even last year, where it's like we have to bring in a full back who hadn't played for the seniors before to try and deal with this aerial threat. What would Galway have done if there were two people in the full forward line like that for Kerry? What would they do if there were three? Like, this thing is, I don't know why it's taken so long for someone to go, let's just put three massive lads in there and lump it into them and see what happens.
Yeah, you can invoice this podcast, coaches, if you decide to do that. Division 4 then, I mean, it's not, I don't think it's, we're being overly biased to say that our beloved Carlow lost to Laois by 4 points. Who watched this, Morris?
Yeah, I watched it. Again, you know, this idea of, like, the dreaded word of transitions, and that was what the game came down to. And it's like you know, Ross Munley, who seems to just love Croke Park, was on it for Laois, and kind of Murphy was kept quiet inside. Broderick didn't start well, and that was two of, you know, Carlow's two main outlets immediately kind of taken out. Laois looked good. Laois looked really good. So you'd be encouraged. Last year you wouldn't have expected them to come down, but they've come right back up.
Mm.
So you'd be encouraged there. And then as for Carlow, I mean, it's really hard to see what they're going to do in the championship, but you would really hope they kick on.
Yeah, I think they'll beat Kildare. They're playing Kildare in the first round of the national championship. I think they'll beat them.
Beat Loud first,
I think. Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
they also know that. They should have won that game against Laois. They should have won the final. Like, I mean, they lost before.
So?
They completely owned the second half. Like, they left about 2-6 behind them. They missed so many chances. They were so tenacious in the tackle. Like, I mean, you say, oh, they play fierce defence football, is bad to watch. It wasn't.
It's definitely not.
When you get back and you're winning, like, the amount of dispossessions they had in the middle of the field, if you had one or two of them 10 years ago, it was like Tyrone against Kerry in many ways, but it's just you're so used to it now.
Is this Carlow's gegenpressing?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was. They did push up in the second half of the kickouts, and so they were winning it back a lot higher up the field, but then they were just missing chances, and there was one where Brendan Murphy came through, especially that goal chance, and Sean Gannon was standing with open goals. If he had just hand-passed the ball across, but he tried to shoot through the defender and the goalkeeper, like just that little bit of, there was little bits of decision making at the end that let them down sometimes.
Yeah.
And
sorry, I've realised a much better word for those turnovers are Stephen Poachings. Sean Gannon, by the way, friend of the show, tweeted after this game, it's not all doom and gloom, I brought Tehei and Sylvan to my fantasy team this week. So delighted for Sean Gannon. He obviously won fantasy.
I had a big weekend of fantasy as well.
I did, thanks to Tehei and Silva, actually. Anyway, let's not talk about that. One other thing that we need to mention from this game is that we are all wishing a very speedy recovery to Laois's Daniel O'Reilly. He is in a stable but serious condition in St. Luke's Hospital, so wishing him all the best. One other bit of housekeeping to take note of is that the Division 2 games were played down. If the games ended at half time, Meath would have been relegated.
Yeah.
As you slightly excitedly pointed out, with the legacy of the Carnaross shit tower presumably in your mind. Down went down by virtue of their poor head-to-head record against Cork, who managed to only survive in Division 2 thanks to, as we mentioned, that head-to-head record against Down. So that's it. We're going to take a little brief musical interlude now, and we're going to be back with our so-called team of the so-called weaker counties.
I would love it if Cork beat them. Yeah. Also, can we talk about the fact that when I was walking out to Dan, one of them turned to the other one. Ashford's great to be back in Division 1.
I get really quiet, but I'll tell you something. He went down in my estimation when he said that. We have not resorted to that.
Let Cork beat them, and Cameron Tipperary goal.
But I'll tell you, you can tell him now if you're watching it, we're still fighting for this title.
And I'll tell you now, they're still fighting for this title. And they've got to go Cork and get something.
And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something.
I think they're at home against Cork.
When you say things like that,
they're at home against Cork there.
And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
I would love it if Cork beat them.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Now, thanks to all of you who responded to our pleas across social media over the last couple of days to pick our so-called team from the so-called weaker counties. I'm going to stop saying the phrase so-called from now on. Mark, I believe that you have the full list of nominees.
Yeah, well, it's everybody was nominated. If you weren't in Division 1, you were allowed, you qualified. If you're a Division 1 player, you weren't allowed in. But we asked for some nominees from social media, what players had caught the ball's readers' eyes, and there was a lot. There was plenty of nominees. We had a couple from London. Owen Murray and Kieran Dunn were nominated by Conor Clark and Jermaine Keane, respectively. Lorcan Hammond was on to saying Sean Gannon from Carlow. We also had Mel Broderick nominating Paul Broderick from Carlow.
No relation.
Mel and Paul or any relation at all. We had a lad on Dune, D-U-Y-N-E. I don't think that's his full name. Okay. But he wanted Robbie Smith from Longford. We also had Sean McGoey?
McGoey.
Sean McGoey.
Like a furtive Y in there.
Ah, McGoey. Sean McGoey wanted Conor Berry from Longford as well. We had a couple more from Carlow. We had Sean O'Sullivan wanted Brendan Murphy. He also wanted Andrew Morland from Armagh. Paddy O'Connor from Sligo was nominated by Stephen Clancy. Graham Brody, the Leash goalkeeper, was nominated by Dennis Tynan. Martin Smith from Cavan nominates Dahola, which we assume is Kieran Brady. Simon O'Connell.
Where'd you read that?
Dahola, a great story about Dahola on balls.ie. I know, also we on the podcast last week.
Bloody nickname last week. Go on.
Yeah, I think I'm over Dahola at this stage, to be honest.
Really,
I was the one who was pushing it at the start of the podcast 8 weeks ago. But yeah. I was like, you know what? He's Dahola.
Well, you were so interested in him, I thought you were interested in the sleeping habits of Dahola.
But like, another thing is, I knew this
bit of reference case for the Cork years. Kids there. Go on. Are we ready to pick a team? Or are there any more nominees?
A couple more. Paul Kelly nominates Charlie Ellis from Carlow. Jacob DeFreccia nominates John Heslin. Also does Peter Curran. Kieran O'Sullivan from Cork wanted Daniel Goulding in the team. And then we had, of course, our own selection, our own suggestions.
Yeah.
So after all that,
brilliant.
Much debate and long nights spent arguing between myself, yourself, and Morris, we have put together a team.
Okay, here we go.
We're pretty much agreed on all of them. 14 out of 15, anyway, we're definitely agreed on.
Okay.
In goals, we have Graham Brody from Laois.
Yeah.
Wandering goalkeeper.
Yeah, he's a kind of a marauding presence. He's amazing.
He might be disqualified because he doesn't really occupy the goal that much.
You're a big fan of him. Like,
The reason I like it is because...
Why is he a bit of a fly keeper?
When you watch a team, especially the way Carlo were trying... Because they're building up slowly. So Brody hardly ever used a tee when he's kicking out. He's kicking out to his corner back and then getting the ball back. And all he would do was keep carrying until a man came to him. And straight away, you could be at the halfway line and you've got an overlap straight away. Because eventually somebody has to come and go to him. And oftentimes he'd go past that person and keep going again and do it once more. So he'd carry the ball, break a tackle, keep going. And then, you know, you've got somebody from that wing back, or if you've got a line of bodies who set up, you know, at the 45 for the scoring zone, one of them has to commit. And all it does is create an overlap for somebody else. So it's an extra man over every single time.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, like it's simple when you say it like that. But it constantly worked for him. That's why I kind of liked it. I liked the fact that it was so simple. And also, it's astonishing it's taken so long for something like this to happen.
Yeah.
We're
slow to evolve in Gaelic football, very much so.
I think this is like goalkeeper 3.0. If you look at Dublin and what they've done over the last few years, and now we're moving it on, you've got Rory Beggan doing the same thing in Monaghan. You know, Cluxon's are 2.0. Beggan, Brody, and lads of their ilk are now your 3.0. They're effectively an extra outfield player.
And especially the amount of work that goes into it. Like, in the Fermanagh game, Rory Gallagher, his brother Ronan, is their goalkeeper coach in Fermanagh. He's behind the goal feeding the keeper balls so that the kickout is, you know, straight away, it's constant. Before the ball, the umpire has hardly put his hand up and the kickout has been taken because he's been fed a ball from behind the goal. Which I'm not sure is that allowed, but it's still a clever tactic.
Yeah. Right, I mean, if I was in the fullback line playing in front of that Laois keeper, I'd be having palpitations most of the time. What fullback line did we pick in front of him?
We went with, in the end, Jamie O'Sullivan at cornerback from Cork, Daniel St. Ledger shoehorned in at fullback.
Friend of the show.
Absolutely. And Declan McCusker in the other corner.
Brilliant.
So it's very kind of impromptu. I'm not sure if any of those players played in that position. But
McCusker plays wing back. O'Sullivan plays fullback. And St. Ledger was playing in the halfback line, but he did play fullback in his day. So
yeah, and plus, I mean, Carlo generally sit deep, you know. So yeah. He wouldn't be a stranger to the fullback line if he was dropped into this team, as he has been. Who is in the halfback line?
Well, Bill Maher from Tipperary, one of Bill Maher scored goal of the so-called weaker divisions, I think, if you look back look back throughout the league. He an unbelievable goal.
Who was that against?
It was against Cork, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was against Louth. It was a poor kick out. But if we're going to have a category for best goal, I think every goal scored by Tipperary qualifies. Yeah. It's almost like every goal that was televised was brilliant. Yeah. Quinlivan and Swinley both scored great goals against Cork and Tipperary. Yeah.
Maher included a solo dummy and a hop dummy in the one move. So that was incredible. The Holla, speaking of marauding halfbacks, Kieran Brady in there at centre halfback, the top joint top scorer from play for Cavan in the league, 2-5 during the group stages. So he's and he was extremely solid at centre half back. So he's a shoe-in for that position. And then Daniel Mimna from Longford. Someone in here really pushed for that.
No, I insisted on Daniel's inclusion. I think Longford's half back line is probably the most impressive part of their team. Maybe it's outside of Rean Brady and Robbie Smith in the forward line. And while the influential Michael Quinn was at his influential best throughout the league, he missed the last few games. And I thought Daniel had a really good league. So we included him.
Good stuff.
On to midfield then. So unlucky to miss out was the pre-mentioned Murphy from Carlow. But we went in the end, Gary Brennan and Liam Goyan from London.
Oh.
Who's a really interesting guy. I don't know if people know his story. He's English born and identifies completely as English.
Oh.
But his father is from Sligo and that's how... So he grew up in London, was born in London, but his dad is from Sligo, ended up playing football, is now playing midfield. One of the few players I think that we've actually been able to see bits of because of the amount of mobile footage of London games that comes out on social media.
Yeah.
So if you look through, you'll see he's got a brilliant goal against Laois and also got a great point in that game as well. So I guess it's kind of an interesting one in terms of purely in terms of the fact of his story, but he's also a quality player.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had Kieran Dealy, the London manager, on a previous episode of this podcast, and he spoke about one of his ambitions with London. To get English players playing Gaelic football. So obviously that's coming to fruition. We're on to the half forward line.
Also, Gary Brennan as well is worth a mention. A player being absolutely solid yet again. He's possibly maybe the best midfielder in Ireland and he's old style as well. He's not like if you look at say your Fentons and your Macaulays, like Brennan is more like I am going to physically outdo you. I'm going to just sometimes he's like one of them lads who was too big for an underage team and he just charged through everyone.
If you haven't seen the dummy points that he scored against Cork on reputable website buzz.ie, go look at it. It's unbelievable. It's one of those dummies where and the dummy is more aesthetically pleasing when it sends a defender flying, you know, they're just left flailing, and that's exactly what it does to two players. So as they're both coming across, he dummies back onto his left foot and then puts it over.
Did he score that against, sorry?
He scored that against Cork.
Ah, right. Sends him out for the examiner.
A lot of these scores are against Cork.
Is the phrase.
Two of the tip goals as well are against Cork. Oh, no, sorry, one of the Quinlivan one was.
Yeah.
But half forward line, we've got Sean Gannon.
Yeah, who, friend of the show. There you are, Sean. Congratulations.
Right, Sean. Like, I mean, you didn't think we weren't going to put Sean Gannon. He was brilliant against Laois as well at the weekend. He was actually one of the people, he scored an outrageous point of his left foot from far out as well in the middle through the second half and scored another one on his right then. We got Seamus Quigley. We didn't know what position to put him in. We didn't know if we could fit him in the full forward line. But then, as Morris pointed out, Quigley was Fermanagh's entire full forward line for the league, so we could play. Once he's in the second half of the pitch, it's go wherever he wants. And then at wing forward, this was the contentious one. We've left out a couple of guys. Spoiler alert, Conor Sweeney doesn't make the team. Quinlivan doesn't make the team. The full forward line, as you see, is extraordinarily competitive. And we were thinking about bringing someone out. But Darragh McVeighy, lads. I mean, look at the game he had against Roscommon before he got injured. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's the best player on the Cavan team. He's not the height of two turf, yet he is he's our best target man. He's really a full forward now at this stage. He's so dangerous. He will just turn and charge at you. His goal was brilliant at the weekend. He got fouled for the penalty. He's outrageous.
Yeah, I was going to dispute that, but then you introduced the phrase What, not higher than two turf?
Yeah, that seals it.
Yeah, congratulations. Like the two turf. Your idioms have got him in. Full forward line.
Finally, we went with Andrew Mernon of Armagh, John Heslin of Westmeath, and Gibran Murta.
Yeah.
So I should clarify, I mean, there's so many players that were really unlucky to miss out, but John Heslin has been incredible for Westmeath. I spoke to him in Croke Park last year, just towards the end of last year, after they had a brilliant run at St. Lomans in the club as well. And he was a bit sore about the fact that he wasn't even invited in for a trial for the international rules squad, having played for the Tigers prior to that. And I sometimes feel a player like John Heslin, like, these are the kind of podcasts that we deserve to recognise him. The fact he doesn't have an All-Star as well, I think, is a joke. Like, it's almost, we take it as routine now every time it comes up, John Heslin 1-7, John Heslin 2-10. Yeah. But like, these phenomenal scores that he keeps going. And it's not always from full forward either. Like, he scored 3 points against Armagh. He was playing midfield that day, 1-7 against Sligo, I think, as well. Like, he does it, you know, routinely. He's so consistent. So I think he's also has called for a team of the each division exactly like this on Twitter this week. So John Heslin is major props.
Yeah. He's got a very good social media game, does John Heslin?
Yeah, he does, yeah, he's brilliant. He's a bit of crack, which I think is important.
We've been talking about getting him on this podcast since we started the podcast. So I think it's about time we finally get to, we've got a few weeks now for the so-called club month. I think it's time we get on, talk to John Heslin about the farming. I mean, does he have any silage for sale? If you do, John, we're running short on bales. Please, it's very wet. we're tractor drivable distance from John's house, I'd say.
At this point, have to drop a name and say, I know Gibran Murta reasonably well. I played soccer with him at underage level. I started out with under 10, and I think he might have been 7, possibly 8. He was drafted in, and he scored directly from a corner on his first game with his right foot. And as you can see, he's predominantly left-footed. Yeah. He's class. I'm delighted he's in this team.
Like you could have put any of the Roscommon forward line into it. I mean, Conor Devenny now, when realizing now, shit, we forgot about Conor Devenny. We didn't forget about him. We had him in, and then we had him in the shortlist, but then we never really got hold of him.
Hold on, I mean, McVeady's in instead of Devenny.
Well,
you're lucky. As I said, your idiom saved you. We need a manager for this
but
team.
But also, just Kieran Murtha's worth mention, and as is Lennon as well.
Yeah.
Both had great campaigns. And lastly, just Andrew Morland as well is the other corner forward.
Yeah, Sharon Roscommon with praise.
Well, Morland as well for I was unbelievable.
Right, we need a coach or a manager.
Yeah, so we were looking at a couple. I think Kieran McGeaney was proposed, but I think Cullen Collins is basically a shoe-in what he's done with Clare again. There's like, you kind of get carried away with superlatives, but when you know when somebody like Mick turns around and says he's the best Clare football manager, I think that counts for a lot. And once again, they were tipped for relegation by certain quarters, and they managed to turn around and were looking at to get promoted, really.
Yeah, I think I might have tipped them to go there.
Yeah, I think you did too, yeah.
There's our apology. Congratulations to all our so-called All-Stars. There's a bottle of Score Cola on the way out to you. I don't know what else we can really afford. That is it, I think, folks. Is there any
final thoughts? Maybe if you've got any ideas that you want us to cover in the so-called club month, for the next few weeks, we're going to kind of change the podcast up a bit. Obviously, we don't have any league games to focus on. It'd be more themed. We might get, like we're saying, get Heslin in and talk about Farman and the GA, who knows, type of Seamus O'Rourke interviews we did a few weeks ago as well. So if there's anything you want us to cover, any kind of area of the GA, whether it be coaching, we've got loads of ideas in the pipeline. And maybe we'll even focus on some particular counties each week. There's different things. But any suggestions at all, get in touch with the podcast at BallsDOTIE. I'm not asking you to do our jobs for us, but just, you know.
But it would be nice if you did.
Yeah, exactly. We give the people what they want. You can also email thegaffer@balls.ie. And obviously, in general, just tweet us, subscribe to the podcast, and give us your views on the world. And even, let's talk about some clubs, so-called weaker clubs as well. And how's the league going, blah, blah, blah. We might pick out some random games to see how it is. We were talking about the Monaghan thing. They're not a so-called weaker county, but Monaghan have a really interesting league structure now where they're given, I think it's 5 points for games that include county players, and then just, I think it's the normal 2 for games that don't at club levels. So that's interesting. Any of these different bits and bobs. We can talk about whatever we want.
Yeah, that's for anyone. We will be going out right throughout the summer. This isn't just a league-only.
Yeah, and of course we have a McKenna Cup preview as well, but that's not.
Well, we can literally do an
O'Byrne Cup preview.
Yeah, May 13th.
For any of you with any grievances about our inevitable grievances about our team here, you can direct those to @MarkFarley131 on Twitter.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.